Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. God bless and keep you. Father, we ask you to bless our day today and bless us in the Word. Bless us in prayer, Lord. We ask, Lord, that the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous people will be effective. And thank you, Father, for doing that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, all right. I want to talk to you about praying the prayers of the Word. Prayers are prayed in the Bible under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God so that we know they are according to His will and also that they are important to us. And also so that we can know we will receive the answer to them, because God is no respecter of persons. In 1 John 5 and 14 says, and this is the boldness which we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So we know if it's written in the Bible, it's according to His will, right? Matthew 21 and 22 says, "And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." So that's the Lord Himself writing about His prayers. Philippians 4 and 6 says, "And nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your heart and your thoughts in Christ Jesus." Amen. So, let's look at a most important prayer here. This is Jesus' example prayer to His disciples. And that's in Matthew 6, 5 through 13. "And when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have received their reward." So that's not a way to receive anything from God, is to pray a prayer because people are around you and they expect you to pray a prayer, or because you want to show that you are a prayerful person or whatever. He said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thine inner chamber, and having shut thy door, pray to thy Father who is in secret, and thy Father who seeth in secret shall recompense thee." There are people that pray in churches and they don't pray anywhere else. Now, corporate prayer is mentioned in Scripture many times, so he's not talking about that. He's talking about people that pray to be seen of men. And the cure? Go in your closet and pray. If you can't do that, your prayer doesn't mean much, right? And he went on to say, "And in praying, use not vain repetitions, as the Gentiles do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." You don't have to pray over and over and over and over if you have prayed and believed you have received, right? If you believed you have received, what would you do? You'd rest. Amen. That is not to say that if you are double-minded, you can repent and go to God and do it again. Yep. Amen. So he said, "Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him." Now, I just laid that little foundation for his prayer, and here is his prayer. He said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father..." We are to pray to the Father. Jesus taught us to pray to the Father in His name. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." Yes, He is righteous, correct in everything, and holy. "Thy kingdom come." This is a spoken word in the prayer. He taught us to pray this. "Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. As in heaven, so on earth." Well, we know God's will has done in heaven. And we are the ones that God has given the authority to bring heaven down to the earth. And, you know, when you look in heaven, you don't see sick people. You don't see demonized people. You don't see the curse in heaven. And yet he says here that thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. And the word says that even as he is, even so are we in this world. In this world. In other words, we are already resurrected and seated with him in heavenly places. But we claim that by faith, right? And our faith is what will bring heaven down to earth. And thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? So, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Lord, provide us with all of our needs today for the body. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Well, very clearly, the Lord, if we're going to pray, we have to go and forgive the wicked. Amen. Forgive them for what they have done, for what they owe us, so on and so forth. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Amen. And if the Lord doesn't forgive you your debts, your prayers are not going to go past the end of your mouth, right? They're just not going to reach heaven. So this is why the Lord gives this advice, and he gives it in other places the same way. And bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. And of course, one wasn't in the original, but the evil. Deliver us from the evil. Lord, deliver us out of temptation, Father. Deliver your people out of temptation. Not that they're not going to be tested, but that they're going to be delivered through it and overcome it and have no more need for it. And so we thank you for doing this for your people, Father. And we ask, Lord, that you put it in the heart of your people to pray this prayer. It's an example prayer, but it's still a good prayer. An excellent prayer. It came out of the mouth of God, right? So thank you, Father, for giving us this wisdom. Thank you for showing us how to pray. Thank you for leading us in prayer. Thank you for working in us to will and to do of your good pleasure, to be in prayer about everything. Thank you that we can pray without ceasing, as your word says. Lord, we ask you to work all these things into our hearts, Lord. And let us be those vessels through whom heaven is brought down to earth. We ask it in Jesus' name, Lord God. Here's another prayer. This is Paul's prayer for the saints at Ephesus. I love Paul's prayers. They're powerful. And since they were anointed of God, they are obviously something that the Lord wants us to pray. And something that we know we can receive because it is written in God's word. Okay? Ephesians 1, 13 through 23. In whom you also, having heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, having also believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. If you haven't been sealed with the Holy Spirit, you need to do that. That's something they did in the Gospels, in the book of Acts, is receiving the Holy Spirit. You must receive the Holy Spirit. You must ask God for the Holy Spirit. Don't say that you've received the Holy Spirit if you don't receive any of the signs of the Holy Spirit. you can claim you've received the Holy Spirit before you see the signs, but don't claim if you don't expect to receive the signs or you have something against the signs. Okay. So, which is an earnest of our inheritance. It's a down payment of our inheritance. Our inheritance is God. It is Jesus Christ. That's our inheritance. He gave us that gift. He made this reconciliation at the cross where Jesus was given unto us and our sins were taken and nailed to the cross. The old life is dead and gone. We reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. This is the earnest, the down payment of our inheritance, unto the redemption of God's own possession. See, unto the manifestation of that redemption, where we've been bought and taken into God's kingdom, right? unto the praise of his glory. Yes, he can. He is the only one that can get the glory for this. Now he says, for this cause, in other words, because of what we just said, he can say this. For this cause, I also, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which is among you, and the love which you showed towards all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Since he knows of the love that is among them and the faith that is among them, he knows he can pray for them and God will hear. You know, if there is no love and faith in you, it's good. It's very likely you haven't really been born again, or at least not been born again in soul, maybe just in spirit. And so what he's saying is this prayer here will work for people who do this, right? So that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Okay, the people who walk in love, the people who walk in faith, he will give a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I've known people who once walked this way, but they were like the parable of the sower. They fell away for various reasons, and most of them were for unforgiveness, criticism, judgment, faction, so on and so forth. They fell away, and the knowledge of the Lord just left them. I've had people tell me who were falling into faction that they can't remember anything that they learned here, and they were so happy and joyous about what they had learned, but they can't remember it now. And not only that, when you mention it to them, they don't believe it. So you see, you can't give wisdom and revelation and knowledge to someone who does not walk in love and does not forgive, especially because they're not forgiven. And since they're not forgiven, God doesn't bestow these blessings upon them. And that's why we call them the stupid demons. When they come on these people, they just are in a stupor. So having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Now, this is very important. We have to have our spiritual eyes opened. And of course, the people who walk in love, they can have this blessed gift from the Lord. We have to have our spiritual eyes opened that you may know what is the hope of your calling. What is your calling? It's the invitation. Invitation to do what? It's an invitation to partake of the benefits of the kingdom. Who saved us and called us. You get saved, and then you get this calling. This is an invitation, because you are a child of God, to partake of the benefits of the kingdom. These are not guaranteed to the world. They're guaranteed to God's people. But a lot of people don't know what is the hope of their calling. What is this invitation? What does it entitle us to? You know, what are the benefits of the kingdom? Well, we read the Bible to find that out. It's sad that most of Christianity don't know the very foundation of these things. A lot of Christianity doesn't believe in receiving the Holy Spirit as they did in the Scriptures, or the gifts of the Holy Spirit as they did in the Scriptures, or the healing and the deliverance that comes to God's people. They don't believe that they have a right to that, or they don't have faith that they are entitled to these things. So they don't have the hope of their calling. They don't know what they've been invited to partake of. What the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? First of all, his inheritance is Jesus Christ. We inherited Jesus Christ. The reconciliation or exchange has been accomplished, and we've inherited Jesus Christ. And what is it about Christ? Well, when you behold in a mirror, 2 Corinthians 3:18, You behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord, and you're transformed into that same image from glory to glory. So this glory of this inheritance is the glory of Christ in you. And it says, in the saints, the glory of Christ in you. We need this glory. It is the power of the Lord. It is the holiness of the Lord. It is the anointing of the Lord. It is the glory of Jesus Christ. And it's in you. And if you know that this is the hope of your calling, you can receive it. If you walk in love towards others and faith, without faith it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, right? And verse 19, and what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Wow. The exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Now, don't forget to pray this. I know we're just looking at it and studying it now, but you can come back later and pray this with a fervent heart towards God. Remember to do that. Pray these things, because we know this is a promise, and you have not because you ask not. Wow. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward believe? Is anything too hard for God? Is there anything in the scriptures that God did not do for his people who believed him? The exceeding greatness of his power is complete. It is complete to save, deliver, heal, prosper, provide for, deliver from evil, etc., etc. It's on and on. The exceeding greatness of his power can only be described in the Word, all the benefits that God gives us in his Word. He has power to do everything for us, everything we need. He'll supply our every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, right? So what the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to that working of the strength of his might. Well, we know he doesn't lack any might. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto him. And what did he do with it? He turned and gave it to the disciples. As the Father sent me, so send I you. He sent them with the same strength of his might, the same authority over Satan, the same authority over the curse, the same authority to claim their benefits, right? Wow. So our eyes can only be opened to the greatness of his strength to provide for us by reading the scriptures. It just opens our understanding, opens our minds up. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So this was all done. It was all built. It was all made when Jesus was raised from the dead, and made him to sit at his right hand in heavenly places. Amen. Oh, glory be to God. It was accomplished. We have a mediator sitting by the Father, and he mediates for us. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named. Yes, our mediator is above all these things. He's above all these entities. And so are we. And he wants us to know that when we pray, that we have authority to receive these things. In fact, we have authority to speak these things, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He's far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion in this world and in that which is to come, and every name that is named. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. So he's the head, but he put all these things under the feet, which is the body of Christ. And much of the body doesn't know this yet, but it's there in the black and the white. He put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. There you go, the body. He's the head, we're the members, and even the lowest members of the body have this authority over Satan and this authority of provision and blessing from God. The fullness of him that filleth all and in all. And of course, that's the whole purpose for us being here. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We're transformed into that same image from glory to glory, as from the Lord the Spirit. Not up there in heaven, down here. That's what the provision is for. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. So it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so this is a good prayer to pray. Pray it. You have not because you ask not. Pray it because it's anointed of God to pray. It was given to Paul to pray and to teach to the souls at Ephesus and us. Amen. Oh, thank you, Father. Hallelujah. And here's a prayer, Paul and Timothy's, for the Philippian Christians. Philippians 1, 1 through 11. There's that 1, 1, 1, 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus that are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's giving a blessing here, a blessing to the saints, the sanctified ones, right? He's giving a blessing here. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon all my remembrance of you, always in every supplication of mine on behalf of you all, making my supplication with joy. He is praying to the Lord, supplicating to the Lord for the Philippian Christians. And he does it regularly. And of course, everybody should do this regularly. This is a good prayer for everybody. Pray for the people of God. Pray for them to come into God's best. Even though they're pretty much swallowed by a whale right now, or a great fish right now, there is a resurrection life afterwards, isn't it? Yes. And we can believe for that. And pray also for deliverance from the wicked. We'll pray a prayer about that in a minute. For your fellowship in the furtherance of the gospel. Fellowship, of course, is giving and receiving. You know, we have fellowship one with another, and that is giving and receiving. We share in the word of the Lord. We break the bread of heaven, and we partake of and eat the bread of heaven. And it, guess what it creates in us? Christ in you, the hope of glory. For your fellowship and the furtherance of the gospel from the first day until now. Amen. Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Yes, he is confident towards God that God will finish the work on the elect of God. He does all things for the elect's sake, Paul said. We know that there are people hiding in the midst, of course, and that they have to come out, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. They are sons of perdition, and they come out through the trials and tribulations. They're forced out, and we've been seeing that happen. But among even those that fall away, you know, there are some who are falling away for the purpose of humbling them so that they can return. And that's a good thing, so that God, who began a good work in them, will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. We should be believing for that, praying for that. Even as it is right for me to be thus minded on behalf of you all. It's right. This is a good point. It is right for us to be thus minded on behalf of you all. Some people's job, they think it is to destroy others. But actually, it's their job to restore others. Some Christians, that's all they want to do is destroy others. And that's not Christian, and they're not Christians, but they've lost it. Because I have you in my heart, Okay, if you have someone in your heart, this is your desire for them. Even though you chasten them, even though you speak the words of righteousness and purity and correction to them, this is what you have. You are to have them in your heart so that they, when they are through going through their chastening, will return unto the Lord. Inasmuch as, both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. Amen. We need the grace of God, constantly need the grace of God. And, of course, we have to give grace in order to get grace. Father, we thank you that your grace has been poured out upon us richly. We praise you and thank you that you will finish that good work. Verse 8, for God is my witness, how I long after you in all the tender mercies of Christ Jesus. Amen. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all discernment. There it is. That's what we talked about last, right? Your love may abound more and more in knowledge. This is a fruit of that. This is a gift to the people who have that, right? And in all discernment. So that you may approve the things that are excellent. We want the good to be good and the bad to be bad, don't we? We want to know the truth that sets free. So that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and void of offense unto the day of Christ. Amen. Void of offense against God and man, right? Amen. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are through Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. So that's what he prayed for. And this is a good thing for us to pray for, too. Not only for ourselves, but for the church and for the people of God. Many are struggling. Many have inherited, all actually have inherited from their first father, Adam, the Adamic sin nature. And through that, we have a good fight of the fight of faith to win our souls and to believe that God has delivered us from all sin, all curse, all sickness, because that's what the Bible says. And, it, you know, if our heart is right towards God, we have boldness towards Him, right? And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Amen. Thank you, Father. We pray that you complete the work in your people. We pray, Lord, that the brethren will come back and pray this with fervency and thought and meditation. Pray these prayers. They're so important, not only to ourselves, but also to the church at large. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And here's a prayer of Paul and Timothy for the Colossian Christians. I love Paul's prayers. They're packed with good things. And what we need to expand our expectation. Because when you pray prayers like this, you know that this is possible because God Himself is the one that wrote the prayer. So we expand our expectation. We look for bigger and better things, right? Amen. Well, this is Colossians 1, 9 through 15. And for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray and make request for you, that you may be filled with all the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Oh, we do seek to please God. We do seek to want to know what His will is in our life. We can, when we do ask God for the knowledge of His will and spiritual wisdom and understanding, we can rest because we believe we have received, right? Mark 11 and 24, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them. It's literally past tense. and you shall have them. And so we can rest. We don't have to keep, worrying God all the time. Lord, I want to know your will. What's your will for me? You know, well, he can talk when he gets ready to talk. And he can move things to put you in his will without you even knowing it. And if you have a desire to do his will, I want to tell you, to some extent, you're already in it. Amen. If any man is willing to do the will of the Father, he shall know of the teaching. He'll have that spiritual wisdom and understanding. He'll know of the teaching. Be content where you are until he brings you to where he is. Right? And verse 10 says, to walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing. Amen. This is what we need to pray this. We need to pray that the Lord will give us the gift to be well-pleasing unto him, as the scripture says. Give us that gift. Give us that grace that we need to walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing. And that's not, of course, necessarily pleasing to man, but it is pleasing to the Lord. And if you are pleasing unto the Lord and you do seek his will and desire his will, you will have enemies in this world. And the more you desire that, the more you seek that, you may have more enemies, because you are coming into the image of Jesus Christ, and he was hated just as he would be hated today, even more so. he'd be hated even more than when he first walked this earth. And those who live in him are going to be hated and lied about and slandered, just like they were the first time, just like he was the first time. Bearing fruit in every good work. Oh, yes, Lord, we need to bear fruit in everything that we reach out our hand to do for you, Lord. Help us to, first of all, walk pleasing unto you, be filled with the knowledge of your will, and now bearing the fruit in every good work. Yes, Father, we ask that in Jesus' name. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Knowledge begets more knowledge. As we saw, love and faith begets knowledge. And knowledge begets more knowledge. Because as you walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses you of all sin, and you're able to walk in more light, right? My light is a light unto my path, and so on. So he shows us where we stand, and he shows us where to go, right? Walk in what you have, and you'll get more. Amen. And 11 says, strengthen with all power according to the might of his glory. Strengthened with all power. That's what we need. Strengthened with all power to do his will and to walk well-pleasing unto him. And if we pray this prayer, guess what? God's going to answer it. If you have faith and you have love towards the brethren, he will definitely answer it. Strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory, unto all patience and long-suffering and joy. Yep. We need to be patient and long-suffering with others. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. God will give us the joy. Amen. Giving thanks unto the Father, who made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I think I mentioned this recently in one of the other teachings. It is he made us able to be partakers, capable to be partakers of the inheritance that belongs to the saints, the sanctified ones in light, who are walking in the light. In other words, he made us capable of receiving everything a saint can receive, right? A saint who is holy, walking in the light, who delivered us out of the power of darkness. Amen. How many ways do we need to understand this? And what is the power of darkness? It's the darkness of the devil's kingdom. It's the darkness of his demons. It is the darkness of the curse. It is the darkness of not having the light and the truth. He delivered us from all of the power of darkness. The demons have no authority over us. We have authority over them. He said, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. So we have authority over their power. Amen. He delivered us out of the power of darkness. We should believe this. You know, if you're justified by faith, it doesn't mean that you've done everything perfectly. Obviously, that's why you need justification by faith. It's because you haven't done everything perfectly. If you're not walking in willful disobedience, which brings certain judgment upon you, you have a right to all these things that we're talking about. You have a right to these things. Who delivered us out of the power of darkness. We are delivered out of the power of darkness. I mean, they have power to crucify us, but they don't have power to harm us. You know, crucifixion is not a harm. It's a good, right? They have power to come against us and hate us like they did Jesus. He said, take up your cross and follow him. But they don't have any power to harm you. And so we thank you, Father, that... And by the way, he translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We are in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. He translated us in. We've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness. We are walking in the light, and the light shines forth from us wherever we go on this earth. In whom we have our redemption. He's already bought and paid for us. He redeemed us out of the hand of the enemy. The ransom has been paid to deliver us from bondage. The ransom has been paid. We have our redemption. The forgiveness of our sins. Yes, that's the foundation of it right there, the forgiveness of our sins. And of course, as we saw before, if you expect to have any of these things, you must forgive other sins. Because even the most wicked among men can be saved. You remember the Apostle Paul, how he persecuted this church. And he hated the church. And he was doing everything he could to destroy the church. Even though they were good and kind people. But they had a doctrinal difference. And he had a legalistic bondage to the law and to the Pharisaical backslidden religion. And of course, a lot of enemies are like that. You know, they want to judge you over something that you have. It may be something that they're wrong on, you're right on, or it could be something that you haven't received light yet on. It doesn't make any difference. We're supposed to be, as we're reading these, we see that we're supposed to be praying for others for understanding and deliverance. So, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Jesus was the firstborn of all creation. And I might say that has a couple of meanings. Not only was he physically the firstborn of all creation, and through him God created everything, but there is a new creation being born, a born-again Jew, if you would, spiritual Jew, if you would. The Old Testament Jews didn't have that experience of being born again. But in the New Testament, he offers that. And, you know, Jesus spoke about how great John the Baptist was from among the Old Testament prophets. But he said, he that's least in the kingdom is greater than him. Why? Because this is a born-again kingdom. We have a new Adam. It's Jesus Christ. It's the born-again kingdom. Everybody that's not in the born-again kingdom came from the old kingdom and is under the curse of the first Adam. Okay, so, Father, we thank you that Jesus is the firstborn of this new creation, man, the born-again man, the man who is delivered from sin and its curse. Oh, thank you, Father. This is so awesome. who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. And, you know, I would like to say that if you pray these prayers and your mind has not been expanded to expect that God can do everything for you, that there's nothing too hard for God. Everybody seems to be weighed down with that. It's just a product of not seeing much of it around you. You know, when people start seeing healings and deliverances and miracles and things like that, they're expanded to believe, too, that it's possible. We saw that with Jesus. Those people that Jesus came to in the Gospels, the Jews, they hadn't seen that. They hadn't seen any of that for a long time. They were just like the religious people of our day who haven't seen these things. And because of that, they don't have as much faith that God can do such a thing today, or even their doctrine, their false doctrine that all this passed away. Well, it's hard to think it's passed away when you see your own loved ones getting healed and delivered and blessed and prospered and filled with the Holy Spirit. It's harder and harder to hold to your false doctrine. And of course, we all need to be vessels through whom God can do these things. Well, praying these prayers is one of the ways to do it. You know, if we don't pray prayer like these prayers, we must be thinking that we can do it ourselves, because all of these are faith in Jesus, faith in the mighty power of God. And we need to believe that, and we need to be able to, in order to do that, we have to believe that. And we thank the Father through these prayers that the Lord is well able to do this. He will deliver us from evil, and He will bless us until His kingdom, right? I'm going to jump into the Old Testament just for a minute here and share Aaron's prayer for the people of God. In Numbers 6, 22 through 27, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise you shall bless the children of Israel." Now we know that in the New Testament, an Israelite is those that are circumcised in heart, not in flesh. It's not him that's born after the flesh that is the children of God, but those that are born after the Spirit. That is that new creation that we're talking about. Okay. But he said, "On this wise you shall bless the children of Israel." Amen. And that's the New Testament church too, because all that happened to them was for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So it is the children of Israel in the New Testament, the New Testament children of Israel who are circumcised in heart. And Moses said, "By the anointing of the Lord," the Lord spoke unto Moses, "Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise you shall bless the children of Israel. You shall say unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee." Now that is good, because when you're talking about blessing, you're talking about the opposite of the curse, which Jesus became for us. He bore the curse so that we could be blessed with Abraham's blessings. And Abraham was blessed in all things, the Bible says. So blessing is the opposite of the curse that covers this earth. You know, I've even talked to ministers who said, "What are you talking about, deliverance from the curse? We've been delivered from the curse." But his idea of the curse was what he had been delivered of, and that wasn't much. And I said, the curse is everything you see around you that is contrary to the life and well-being of Christ in his people. I said, that's the curse. that they don't have any understanding about what they've been delivered of. They know it as a theology that they've been delivered from the curse, but they don't know what the curse actually incorporates. The Lord bless thee. That's what he told Moses to tell Aaron. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Keep thee from what? Keep thee from harm. Keep thee from the curse. Keep thee from being conquered by the enemies. Keep thee from the forces of darkness. Keep thee. Just keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. I would say that's favor, because the next part of that verse says, and be gracious unto thee. So his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. He wants this blessing to be pronounced over the people of God. We need grace. It's unmerited favor. Nobody feels worthy of grace. It's unmerited. It's unearned. It is a gift from God. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Lord, give peace to your people. Grace and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God, we are told. Grace and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God. Let us know, Lord, what is the hope of our calling, and let us reach out and grasp it by faith. Let us see the end from the beginning. Let us believe we have received everything that we ask and pray for because we have this grace upon us. Let it happen, Lord. Let it happen among your people. Let it happen to us so that we can pass it on. We can't give anything away we don't have. So, Lord, give it to us that we can give it to others, that we be those ministers who bring heaven down on the earth. Thank you, Father, on the name of Jesus. Verse 27, so shall they put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So this simple blessing here is powerful, isn't it? He said, so shall they put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. That by Aaron pronouncing this blessing upon the people, that the Lord be gracious unto them, that his face shine upon them, that he lift up his countenance upon them, and give them peace. So shall they put my name. My name, the word name in the Old Testament is the same as name in the New Testament. It's not the same word, but it's a Hebrew word, but it means the same thing, his nature, character, and authority. See, this is God's grace, is to have his name manifested in us. We go through baptism to be baptized literally into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, into the nature, character, and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have any problems if you're there. But that's what we claim, his name on us, right? It's not Christian, you know. It is the nature, character, and authority of the Son of God in us. And he said, so shall, if you do this blessing, in other words, if you give this blessing to the people for the Lord, you speak this blessing to them for the Lord, you pray this blessing for them from the Lord, then they put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Amen. Father, we do pray this for your New Testament church, Lord, the called out ones. We know who they are. We've studied it. We know the called out ones are those who are in the process of coming out from among them. All the apostasy of the false church, all the apostasy of the harlot, the daughters of the harlot, they're coming out. They're coming out all the time. They're coming out, Lord. They're believing you. They're seeking for ways to be pleasing unto you. They're coming out. They're comparing everything with Scripture, Lord. They're not putting their trust in what men say. They're comparing the Scripture. They're looking at the Scriptures, studying the Word of God to know what is the hope of your calling, Father. So we ask you for this, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you, saints, for joining us today for this. Father, we ask that everyone do their homework and pray these prayers. And possibly we'll do this again. It's all according to your will, Lord, that they will pray these prayers, Lord, and believe them and see the fruit of them. And we thank you for it, Lord, and we love you and we praise you and we thank you for continuing to do this great work in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Enable us to look in the mirror by faith and see Jesus, Lord, because we were crucified with Christ and we don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. So thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And Father, we ask you to bless the brethren that join with Michael Hare, and bless them too to grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man, as our Lord Jesus did. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. Good night, saints. God bless you.